Welcome to Hammer Down! Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. I will be steering the ship today. A lot of people are calling me a hero for being in the office today after what happened last night. You don't have to. This is my job. I love doing it. Joining me right next to me will be Pat McAfee. Next to him, the Nuke Man himself, Bubba Gumpino. How are you doing today, sir?
Great day, Tony. Great weekend of football.
Great weekend of football. Six games was a lot. And on the FaceTime, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod. Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach, Mr. Michael Lombardi. How are you doing, sir?
I was more worried about you. I'm proud of you. Takes a lot of guts. Look, you know, it's not easy. You know, the piece of you lose a piece of you in those games. You know how it goes.
You really do, especially when it's to a city that you have been talking shit on for a long, long time. I would be an idiot to say that the writing was not on the wall, losing five out of the last six or whatever it was. I mean, I never thought that there was a chance that they were going to win the Super Bowl this year after all of that happened, but, you know, it would have been nice to win against the Browns.
Look, you know, I think if you go back and watch the last six games, I mean, they were fortunate. You know, you lose to 10 points to Ryan Finley. Really, we're never in that game. It's broken, you know, and you can't fix it while it's broken. I mean, you're like a ship out 200 miles in the ocean. You're going to have to get towed back in. You can't fix it on the fly. You know, especially you lose Dupree, you lose Bush, you lose all these guys you think you have, and it's hard to overcome. And then without any running game, you know, all the burden falls on Big Ben. He's got no play action pass that he can rely on, so everything is the passing game. It was broken. And when you're broken, it's going to fall apart, and it did quickly. Like New England last year, New England yes. had that great win streak. They were going good, dominating, and then it fell apart.
Well, it was you with the saying, right, Pat? Or was it you? Where it's
winning cures all?
No, where it was like it's going, and then it ends very quickly.
Oh yeah, bankruptcy takes.
Oh, there it is.
Takes its time, but then it comes quick. That was Mike Lombardi.
Yeah,
and that's. Yeah.
That's what happens. I mean, that's exactly what happened to them. I mean, I just think they – and then the further you go down the road that you – the more games you win because Ben can throw it, the further you go deeper into bankruptcy. That's how you get there quickly because the lie becomes – you believe the lie and it's still just a lie.
Hey, I don't want to pivot away from that game, but, I mean, something just happened relatively massive today. Doug Peterson walked into Lurie's office, told him to go fuck himself, Mike. How do you feel about that? That is allegedly what happened, basically. Doug Peterson was sick of people telling him what to do. He is now the odds-on favorite to become the Jets head coach with Joe Douglas. Was Doug Peterson trying to get out of town?
I think, you know, look, Doug was fortunate to get that job when he got it. You know, Ben McAdoo was driving down to interview for Philly, and John Mara called him in the car, told him to turn around. He was going to make him the head coach of the New York Football Giants, so he did. You know, he was going to go down and interview with Philadelphia. Doug was really a guy that, you know, I don't know if he was on the hot seat at Kansas City. You know, he was there, and he gave him his blessing, but you know how that goes. And he came to Philly, and I think they felt like they had somebody they could work with that was willing to listen to them, meaning the front office and Jeff Lurie. And he did. You know, the first year he was the head coach of the Eagles, he basically just ran Kansas City's offense. I mean, now they put together the staff for him. He hired very few people. And then the next year he won the Super Bowl, and then when they lost, they started to want to make changes. And I think he felt like, look, I may not have been ready when I started this job, but I'm ready now to be my own head coach, and I'm not going to take crap from Howie telling me what to do or Jeff telling me what to do. You embarrassed me last year by firing the coordinator. And so that all became all prevalent in the discussion. So, you know, I said on my podcast today, I taped it at 9:20. It's interesting. The leak by Mortensen and Schefter on Sunday. You could do a 30 for 30 on this. This is the anatomy of a story.
Deshaun Watson, is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
No, the Peterson. Okay, so it comes out Sunday morning that Peterson isn't safe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so why did it come out Sunday morning? Well, somebody in the Eagles told those. Those two guys are not inventing stories. They get enough information on their phone. They don't have to make it up. So, but what happened was the Eagles needed to clean up a mess that they created when they said that Doug was going to come back, that they were going to meet, but Doug was going to come back. Well, they met, and they didn't like what Doug was saying. Doug wasn't playing ball with them. So now they had to change the narrative. Because if they would have fired Doug today without that leak in the story, everybody would have said, what happened? So they laid the foundation. And as I said on my podcast at 9 o'clock this morning, there was maybe a 15% chance he was going to come back.
Okay, so let's talk about the Deshaun Watson then. Because Schefter's caption on Instagram is basically reads like a novel from Deshaun Watson's people. Then Mortensen comes out and says, like, hey, Deshaun Watson can do this. He doesn't mind going to Miami. It feels like that's another anatomy of a story thing, but there's no way you can get rid of Deshaun Watson, or can you? If you get the number 3 overall pick, number 18, 35, and Tua, and maybe a second rounder, would you take that if you're Caserio? And do you think that's what Deshaun Watson, his people are doing behind the scenes?
I think you got two issues here. The agents working behind the scenes, until you meet face-to-face with Deshaun Watson, until you sit down with him, he's on vacation now, you really can't believe anything you're reading.
He's enjoying himself too, Mike. He's having a good time.
He's having
out
a good
there.
Vacation.
You know, so I think knowing Nick, Nick's methodical. He's going to measure twice, cut once. He's going to sit down. I mean, let's hire the head coach first, and then let's all fly to see Deshaun Watson, sit down with him and find out where we are, what's his beef, what's he doesn't want, what's his problems, and remind him that, you know, we're going to try to win Super Bowls with him at the quarterback. You know, players can't really – you can't really – the media can't drive how you run your business. You've got to run it in a way to where it's the best for you. Now, I say that especially in a business where you're not dependent upon customers to make money. The NFL makes money regardless. Mike Brown at the Bengals is making as much as anybody, and his team's only won 6 games in the last 2 years.
Hey, the thing you talk about, Caserio meeting with Deshaun and whoever they hire as a head coach, maybe Jim Caldwell, by the way, that name's getting floated out there. Who knows who's floating that name out there? Is that the Texans trying to get Jim Caldwell down there? Or is that Jim Caldwell's people potentially? Or is that actually happening? You never know. Whenever I retired or whatever, I got a chance to meet Ballard afterwards. And Chris said, man, I wanted to talk to you before you retired to let you know what it was going to be like with me around, but you retired too damn quick or whatever. And I would assume Caserio is going to tell Deshaun that same thing. Like, hey, I understand you might have some, you know, some grievances or whatever, but this is what I'm going to be like. They don't even know each other yet at this point. And Deshaun's people have been very open about this isn't about Caserio. This is about the entire process and how this whole thing's playing out.
Right, and I think Nick's got to deal with it. That's part of the job as a front office guy. You got to go and take it on. I mean, you know, you don't come to work. It's not all roses. You got to deal with some really hard situations, and you got to confront them head on. And you got to go look at the guy in the eye, and he's got to trust you, and you got to trust him.
And Mike,
The agents they can manipulate the media. I mean, how about this? There was a story the other day about MVP Mitch was going to be in demand this offseason. I mean, you got to understand, stories are plants, and then there's stories. Then there's something tangible to them. I think there's something tangible to the Watson's unhappiness. I think it's the agents trying to drive up interest for Mitchell Trubisky. So every story, you have to sit in your desk and analyze what's real and what's not.
Mike, what do you know about Easterby? Because the report this weekend was that Omar Khan of the Steelers was basically going to be the Texans' next GM until Easterby stepped in and said, no, it's going to be Caserio.
Well, I think that's the way to where I think if you're Khan Corn Ferry, you got to spin it because they didn't listen to you. First of all, my question to you is how is Nick not on Corn Ferry's list? He's won 6 Super Bowls. You know, why wouldn't you want to interview him?
Oh,
you're killing the hiring of the team that just employed you. He should have been on your list. He's been in demand for as long as ever, you know? And so I think a lot of it is manipulation of the media. The Corn Ferry story to me is a no story. You're releasing your list out there and you don't even have the guy who's one of the better candidates on it. and you're taking bows. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I was a little confused by Omar Khan a little bit. Not because I don't think he'd be a good GM or whatever, but he's never been like on the.
Never heard of him.
Well, he's legend in the Steelers organization because he's the contract guy. He deals with the cap. He's great at moving numbers around, but he's never been on the player scouting side or anything like that. Mike, does that matter?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter in what you're looking for. I mean, he has a vision of what he wants to do. He's obviously has a relationship with people in the league. He would have to supplement some of the areas that he's not as strong in to someone else, no different than a football guy would have to supplement some areas in the financial world. But when you're in that business, you essentially do know personnel because you're putting a dollar sign on the muscle, right? You are putting value on the player. And by putting that value, you've got to know what's going on. I had the most interesting conversation Saturday on the Lombardi line with the guy who runs the Borgata, the sports book. And I said to him, and this is all about value on money, right? This is all about the value. I said to him, what would this line for the Rams is at 3 because you think Goff's going to play. Is that right? And he said, no. I said, okay. If Goff doesn't play, what's the line? He said, 3. If Goff plays, what's the line? What it is. So what you're saying to me is you will not move the line for or against Goff. Is that right? Yes. Okay. What's the line if Russell Wilson doesn't play? How much does it move? 6 to 6.5.
Oh.
You see where I'm going here?
Yeah, they're putting value on Goff versus their value on Russ. And I'll tell you what, McVay, I think he views it the same way as the goddamn sports books because after watching that game, Goff could do everything. He's your franchise. McVay going to very interesting turn of events during that game while I was watching it. You watch the game, you're like, okay, this Rams team's for real. It seems like Russell Wilson might be broke, but this Rams team is for real. And then it's like, wait, Goff just took a snap under center. Okay, Goff just tried a deep ball. Goff just handed the ball off. Seems like Goff can do everything that you would ask of him to be a quarterback. Why is Goff not starting this game in Wolford now in an ambulance, T's and P's? That was an interesting move in my eyes.
No doubt. And my point is, when it relates to Omar, is Omar has to know that as part of if he were a GM.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that, you're pretty much ahead of a lot of people.
Imagine that happening to
anybody.
Any other quarterback.
That got, by the way, a made man, too, like somebody that got a big contract.
I mean, he's making $35 million, and you know, and Troy love him, but he's sitting there saying, well, Goff really handled this well. Handled what well? He got benched.
Do you think it's the way he carries himself, too, though? Like, even the post-game interview, like, when he was trying to take that shot, like, the way he said it, he was, like, mumbling about it. It's like, show some passion, Christ.
Jeez.
I mean, look, now, today's Monday, right?
Yes.
They won't announce who his starter is this week. He's not sure. Because he walked in there and he knows he's been part of 5 games where Jared Goff's played in weather below 40 degrees. And in those 5 games, he's thrown for less than 50% completion. In those 5 games, he's thrown 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. In those 5 games, he averages 5.24. You think he's excited about saying Goff's my starter in frigid Lambeau Field?
I have a question for you now. Do you think that means McVay's going to get rid of Goff this offseason? Is Goff going to hit the market?
I think they have to make a decision. I think it's one of the worst contracts in all of football. If they can unload it, they have to do it. I've said this all along on this program, on my podcast, on my show. I would have rather given Sean McVay $25 million than Jared Goff.
Hey, Sean McVay might still be able to run down and cover a kick. His sprint down the sideline during that pick was incredibly athletic. Jumped around that guy. But if he's not announcing a starter strictly because he doesn't know who's going to play better, because the thumb injury, which did make him a little bit more inaccurate, obviously, but that's a problem waiting to happen. That's a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. That's going to be immediately following their loss to the Packers this weekend, a conversation.
If it's snowing in Green Bay, Goff's retinas could pop out of his skull.
It's not supposed to snow right now, but it is supposed to be very cold. And I mean,
we have to on Friday. We need have our incredible crew there at the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices dig out a picture of Jared Goff playing in Chicago 2 years ago and just post it and said, if you see this face, immediately hit this app to bet against him.
Live bet.
Goff has a very similar contract to Wentz where he's got $65 million in dead cap next
year. None of them are as bad as Matt Ryan somehow, but they're still all bad.
Why did they pay him? They paid him early too, Mike. Like, why would they do that if they – do you think they thought he was better than he is?
Remember, when Les Snead was there with Jeff Fisher, they were taking so much shit for Goff. And Wentz was really good. And Goff looked really bad with Jeff Fisher. He looked horrible. And so when McVay came in there, he looked much better. And they were sticking their chests out. There's the guys at certain ESPN announcers are saying, as of last year, we're telling, you know, I remember somebody, you know, directly attacking me about saying Goff was no good. And I was like, look, you can attack me all you want. You watch the tape. You drive to the stadium thinking he's your quarterback against pass rush. You can drive the stadium, and if they're going to count the five Mississippi, he's my guy. I love him. But if they ain't count the five Mississippi, he ain't my guy.
It's interesting because that is something that owners will do, too. To like Jim Irsay, whenever Luck's contract was coming up, brother, it's going to be the highest contract in the history of the NFL. Like that was something they were marketing. I would assume the Rams were doing just that with the deal.
They wanted to pat themselves up. They felt good. It was like a justification of their pick. When in reality, it really wasn't because, you know, was he the right player? I said this, McVay was, look, they picked McVay when nobody thought McVay could be a head coach, including me. I was thought he was too young. And what he's done there is remarkable. But Goff doesn't really do much to help him win. That's why, like tonight, when we watch this game tonight, either one of the quarterbacks, whenever they make a throw, we have to ask ourselves, is that the scheme delivering the ball there or is that the player? Is he making a unique play? And that's when you see Goff. There's not many unique plays that Goff makes that McVay doesn't give him.
Hey, I was just going to go through the what our picks were this weekend and how we did. So we all had the Colts. I mean, Mike didn't have the Colts, but he should have taken the Colts if he listened to his number.
Mm-hmm. You forced him out of it.
Why do you do that? Why do you do you let somebody else's number bully Debo your number?
I got all screwed up by that 44-5-1 number. I mean,
well, it did.
My numbers ended up 4-2. Even my number on I lost Washington with you guys because that number when we posted it was at 7.5. That thing shot up to 10.
Mm-hmm. No, we still won that.
Well, it's depending if you go off of our numbers. That 44-5-1 went 5-1 this weekend. If you go off of the Washington going up, then it was 4-2.
But that if you picked Washington at 7.5, just say you're a gambler listening to this podcast, and you bet Washington at 7.5, and then the number went up to 11, you had to take it at 11 too. There's no chance you couldn't just leave yourself alone at 7.5, because you had to marginalize your risk at you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to knock down the risk.
Hey, Tom looks like an assassin. By the way, he yelled at a guy during the kneel down plays to get in the fucking huddle.
Is he the best or what? Yes.
Mike, there's no way the Saints do the triple on
Way. Not on Tom, dude. No way in hell.
The way that line played the other night, I mean, if you would have told me, my son was here, and he said, Dad, if I would have told you that the Tampa Bay Bucks were going to score 30, the score should have been like 30-3. I never thought that the Washington football team would have scored any points if they got to 30.
Heinicke, dude.
Heinicke was good. He was the best quarterback Washington had all year.
By far.
What are they going to do? Hey, as a GM, put your GM hat on. What are they Taylor Heinicke will be fine.
If I'm a Washington, I'm calling this guy up, say, look, we'll give him every chance to compete. I'll give him a base salary. I'll guarantee him some money. The worst he's going to be is our backup. I'll let him compete for starter. I can't promise you we're not going to draft anybody, but I'll guarantee his paragraph 5 so he's on the team. I'll give him this X amount of dollars. He's got a role right here.
Rivera still loved what's his name, who's hurt though, the other QB as well.
Alex.
Yeah, Rivera loves him.
Come back. I mean, in fairness, you just don't know.
So Bucks Saints, it opened as 3.5. It's already down to 3. Money's on the Bucks early.
Shit.
Is that the direction you're gonna go, Mike, you think?
I ran my numbers this morning, I thought this line would open up at 3.5 to see if people played the hook. I have it as a 1.12 game. So if I'm going to get points, I got to get it above that number, which would have been why I think when they opened it at 3.5, especially with that hook, everybody who power rates the game jumped all over it. Like there were two games that the people that power rate games jumped over. It was Baltimore and Buffalo. Baltimore was at a three-point dog or 3.5, and I had that as – and it came right to Baltimore right away, and the same thing with Tampa.
What did you have Ravens-Bills as?
I have it as a 2.87 game.
That's going to be a game. I don't know about that one. I'm pumped for that game.
I'm worried. I like the Ravens early, but I'm also worried because can Lamar continue to run for over 150?
Yeah, you're just banking on him balling out, dude. Just what you're banking on.
My son was with Lamar at Louisville, right? And so he coached at Louisville Lamar's freshman year when he played. He was rotating his freshman year, and then his sophomore year he had the breakout year. And so Sunday morning, he knows that my number said to take Tennessee. He sends me a text and said, I've just seen Lamar on TV. He's got that look. You're going to lose.
That's awesome. He's got one of them golf looks. Huh?
But it's the opposite of the golf look.
If you look at Lamar and it looks like he's comfortable or whatever, okay, here we go. Let's hammer Lamar. I like that. That's a good piece of intel. You're going to have to watch the pregame shows whenever they bounce into the warmups.
He'll be here with me next Sunday, so I'll tweet that bad boy out.
If I had Lamar's athleticism, I would always have that look.
It's hard. Human, dude. It's a human.
If you anything like that, like I saw Michael Vick, right?
Yes.
I mean, Michael Vick, when you watch him live, was the fastest person I've ever. I mean, Dion is fast, but you know, Dion played a position that you never really got to see him accelerate that fast that all the time. But Vick was like unbelievable, but Lamar just blows me away.
It looks like he's in fast forward, and that's like such a cliche, but it's real. It looks like he's moving at a different speed than everybody else. Was Randy Moss like that as well?
Yeah, Randy Moss was the fastest. Like Al Davis used to love to stand. He taught me this. So when we would be at practice, he would always stand away from the receivers on the sideline so he could feel the – he said, I want to feel these guys running to me. I want to feel it. And so if you stand down there and you see Randy coming at you, you feel like it's a gazelle coming towards you. It's fast. I mean, it's like, whoop, it's right up on you.
I think I felt like that with Dez Bryant was returning punts. It was the first time I was ever like standing in front of somebody and I was like – this guy's running very angry. Like, you know, like, this guy is running very fast and very angry, I do believe. I think he ran me over.
Dez is a big boy.
Lamar, like Kenny Vaccaro had an angle on him. He outran it, and it looked like Vaccaro was running in cement. Like he was passing people. He was lapping people out there. It was unbelievable.
What do you think about that punt by Vrabel, Mike?
And Tomlin, just talk about those. Talk about coaching. Decisions.
Why do you
this
think
week.
Frank Reich gets a pass from everybody for his bonehead calls?
Jeez, stop.
I mean, because you know he's gone for it and fourth. He's been successful. Look, I take the points. I think field position is really not relevant with some of these quarterbacks anymore.
It's not field position. Like,
it's not good. That's not good for the punters.
Well, especially when in Vrabel and Tomlin's instance, they both punts were touchbacks.
Well, and they got back in place.
Tomlin had momentum at that point. Like, I didn't understand that. He really had – and he knew his he knows better than I, but his defense was really – it was more Cleveland was trying to stall than they were stopping him.
Yeah, the Browns were on the ropes. You could see it with Baker, the way they weren't moving shit. Like, if you go for it there and you don't get it, it's still at the 40. Like, you can still stop them and get the ball back. I just think you lost all momentum there by punting.
Get it, Gump. All of a sudden, Cleveland's like, oh, fuck, we're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Hey, and you can always fall back on, though. The analytics told us.
Well, yeah.
That's – you know, it's that the math says – nobody shows you the math, but the math says.
Well, the math say the second and two have Tannehill throw a fade, like – come on, dude. Second and two. I know Henry's not moving the ball. You have three downs to get 2 yards. If you can't get it with Henry, what
Henry
are we doing?
Henry was stopped, by the way. Baltimore had hey, Paizan, here we go. Kind of an old school guy. Marcus Peters getting that interception and without even skipping a beat, sprinting directly to the logo was one of the most beautiful signs of competitive juices I've ever seen in my entire life. Just wrapping up that entire storyline full circle there. Absolutely awesome. Did you hate it or love it?
No, I like paybacks are a bitch.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
Paybacks are a bitch.
Yeah, I agree.
Like if you want to act like an asshole, you know, like you're going to get paid back eventually.
Vrabel knew too. Vrabel, it wasn't like Harbaugh whining about anything. Vrabel just took it.
No, I think Vrabel's a man. I mean, yeah. Vrabel knew his defense is terrible. I mean, he was lucky that they did a great job coaching for 3 quarters in that game and just couldn't hold it together.
What kind of contract do you think Clowney gets next year, Mike?
Zero.
Well, remember on the broadcast, they said that, you know, that, that Tennessee's defense was missing Clowney. They had him when they were really bad. I think he barely gets – I think he might get maybe five a year on a look-see. He won't pass the physical. He won't pass the physical.
Mike, what's your number for Rams-Packers?
I have the Rams-Packer game at 2.18.
That's a – you take the Bucs, you take the Packers on a 7-point teaser. Bucs up to 10, Packers as a pick 'em.
Great bet. I know I'm alone in this office, but I like the Rams. I'm the only one in the office who likes it, but I do.
Really? How come?
And you don't even know who the quarterback is. You're like the bookmaker from the
it doesn't matter.
Fucking Tony Book.
You put Jalen on Devontae.
Tony Book. That's what we got to start calling you, Tony Book.
I think the Rams' defense is really, really good.
Jalen's unbelievable.
And they have Cam Akers.
Jalen's going to hurt Adam. I mean, but the MVP of the league's hard to bet against. Now, you're getting 7 points. I'm not saying he's not hard to bet against when you get seven.
I don't think the Rams are going to win.
My only thing is it's Rams have always had Seahawks' number. Their defense always has Russ's number. Hmm. Always.
And the Rams in the frozen tundra. You got to think about that.
You always have little interesting tidbits. What's the angle for McVay and LaFleur?
Well, I mean, you know, look, he knows LaFleur. McVay's not worried about LaFleur. McVay's worried about Rodgers.
Okay.
You know? Because one thing about that call sheet, it looks a lot different when you're calling him and Rodgers.
A lot bigger options. A lot more options there.
Yeah, I mean, that thing looks wide open. McVay's not sweating LaFleur. He's like, what are we going to do to Rodgers?
Aaron Donald is going to have to get a shot for that game. Mm-hmm. What a monster.
How did they lose to the Jets?
And you give us
the Jets have beat two teams in the Elite Eight.
It's wild. Gacy. And they lost Trevor Lawrence because of it.
All right, last game. What's your line on Browns and Chiefs?
I have that as a 3.87 game. Really? Here's the thing about the Chiefs, Gump. Throw your nukes out there, but in the last 8 weeks, they've yet to cover a spread.
Yeah, they don't cover anymore.
They cost a lot of us a lot of money this year.
Yep.
All right. Let's pick, before we get out of here, let's pick tonight's college football.
Ohio State plus 10.
Yeah. Final. Is that what it's at right now?
I think.
Plus 9.
Fuck.
I'm going to go Alabama minus 4.5 first half.
8.5.
Oh, shit.
I love that, Mike.
That's not bad, Mike. I like that.
The number. Check with our numbers.
But I will.
Ohio State 4-1 against the spread their last 5 neutral site games as a dog.
Boom.
6-2 against the spread their last 8 bowl games.
Boom.
5-2 against the spread their last 7 bowl games as a dog.
Boom.
Alabama 0-4 against the spread their last 4 bowl championship games.
Bing da boom.
1-4 against the spread their last 5 bowl games as a favorite. I will take the points and I will also sprinkle Ohio State money line.
Oh, you like Ohio State a lot.
First half is minus 5.5, Mike.
Minus 5.5? Anything under a touchdown, I'm going to take it.
You think that Ohio State defense isn't going to be able to keep up with Sarkisian's offense early? They're going to have to make adjustments at halftime?
Yeah, and I think the problem is I think that Ohio State's going to move the ball. I worry about Alabama covering late.
Yeah, I think after watching that Florida-Alabama game, I feel like Ohio State can at least hang.
The total on this game is 74.5.
Yeah, it was 75.
Hey, them boys are going to go and get it, too. Them boys are going to go and get it.
When I was looking at the numbers, Ohio State is going to be able to run the ball in Alabama. Ohio State's going to be able to pass the ball in Alabama. Ohio State can stop the run, but what Ohio State cannot do is they are 60th in the nation going up against the number one pass offense in Alabama. So that's where it scares me. If Ohio State can do anything against the pass, potentially, I don't know if they are, I think 8.5 is a lot. So I think, you know what? I think I'm going to take the first half Alabama and the 8.5 for Ohio State for the full game.
Dogs have covered in 5 of the last 6 championship games as well.
Wow.
And you're on the Buckeyes, Pat?
Yeah, just because tomorrow, if Alabama covers, I'll be able to make fun of Ohio State for losing for me. And if they do cover, just what I thought.
It's a good place to be in. Mitt, will you throw up the stats before we get out of here?
Diggs is crushing right now, dude. 62-49, Diggs.
Want a good run.
Let's fucking go, dude. 7 more NFL games. Let's keep it alive.
A lot of people were tweeting me last night that the Steelers potentially lost because you guys did make me take James Conner under the rushing.
I also went 4-3 with that teaser, Mitt.
Mitt, we're putting teasers in
now. We're putting minus 160
punt drives.
Admit, we're putting teasers in now.
Hey, dude, your teaser's probably going to be the Super Boost this week.
For you guys made me pick the punt.
Yeah, you made me pick a teaser because you wouldn't answer your phone.
Hey, don't you guys be going after each other, right? You fucking put in four bets for me that I didn't want to make.
True.
You know what I mean?
You made me bet all six, so I'm just telling you, you know.
6-0 soccer day yesterday, though.
Hey!
Kids, the best soccer handicapper on planet Earth.
On planet fucking Earth, dude. It's all. You should start OnlyFans in this.
You should.
You should start.
Mike, he's going to start selling his whale plays.
I love it. I love it. We'll get a couple good promoters to sell his OnlyFans. That'd be perfect. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, Mike, we will talk to you on Thursday. Have a good week.
Let's go Bucks.
Have a good one, Mike.
You know, I like Alabama's football team too. I hate to have to do that, but
you really do. I'm surprised at where you're going here.
I don't know why. Honestly, I didn't even watch the Ohio State Clemson game either. I just heard how good he was.
Oh, who? Fields?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's number one Fields fan in the entire planet.
I know. That's. I'm just riding with my guy Gump.
Played good, dude.
I watched the game, by the way.
I'm not sold on Alabama's quarterback either.
What?
Well, neither am I, but he hits wide open receivers. And
doesn't this feel like a Joey Burrow season for that guy?
Nah.
You don't think?
Nah.
They put up the stats between him and Burrow. And, yes, the stats are very, very similar, but, like, the throws into small targets, like Burrow was much, much slicing.
Slicing and dicing.
Apparently, Alabama's chance to get another number one wide receiver back tonight in Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, apparently he can only run straight lines,
which he runs them very fast. So
that's what he does.
He's very good.
But at some point, you might have to move.
Might have to juke it. Like what Collinsworth was talking about.
So he's been out with a
Collinsworth talking about Miles Garrett's ankle movement last night.
Flexibility. Ankle flexibility.
Do you see his ankles, dude?
Yeah.
Hey, Waddle's been out for, 3 months now because of a broken ankle? You respect him coming back for one game before he goes to the draft?
Yeah, national championship. Let's go. And Devontae's on that squad. Hey, Devontae, let me open up some shit for you here. You know what? Maybe I don't like. Am I going off on the Ohio State bet?
Just do what I did.
What'd you do?
First half, Bama. Game, Ohio State.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll do that. I'll do first quarter. What's first quarter, Bama?
I'll pull it up right now.
I need to catch up to Diggs. Maybe I'll make 3 bets on this.
Hey, there's 7 games left, dude. First quarter spread, Bama -2.5.
Okay, so I like Bama -2.5 in the first quarter.
Okay.
That's a good bet.
I like Ohio State full game.
Okay.
+9 or whatever it is.
8.5. 9.
I think it's 9, right? You know what we said?
It's 8.5 on FanDuel. But.
Oh, 8.5. Goddamn. All right, I'll take it 8.5.
You went 3-0 yesterday, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Good day. Good for you.
You went 6-0. You went 3-0?
Jimmy Connor, I mean.
I mean,
play of the game, he had a fucking 50-yard run. You said it.
Fucking snap one over the head. If that snap's caught by Ben and handed off, did you see how fast Pouncey was coming out?
As soon as I saw it, I said Peyton Manning Super Bowl. This game's over.
Rumors that Pouncey's retiring, which means Ben might retire.
Yeah, they said they were a tag team.
They are. All right. Hammer.
See ya. Bye.